Please join me in a prayer in regard to the message this day. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today I bring you message number 2 of 6 sermons I'm giving on the life and ministry of the apostles. The messages are based actually on a series by the Reverend Richard File called Walking with Those Who Walk with Jesus. Last week we looked at the life and ministry of the Apostle Peter. And one of the things I've added is a quickie quiz of 6 questions concerning the life of each of these disciples. And last week we took a quick quiz on Peter. And this morning, of course, we're looking at the life of Judas Iscariot. Now, I've encouraged you, you don't have to do this, but to keep a record of your points for each of the questions. They are, each question is worth points 5, 10, 15, 20, up through 30. So here is the first question. 11 disciples, but not Judas, were from the same city. Which city was it? Answer, Galilee. So you can write down 5 or keep track of that mentally. Number 2, what act of affection did Judas show in betraying Jesus? Answer, he kissed him. You get 10 points if you knew that. How did Judas die? Answer, he hung himself. That's worth 15 points. What special position did Judas hold among the disciples? Answer, he was the treasurer. That gets you 20 points. Now here's one I hope most of you know. How many pieces of silver were paid to Judas for betraying Jesus? There were 30 pieces of silver. And you earned 25 points for that. And last, what was the name of the man chosen to replace Judas? The answer, Matthias. You just earned 30 points if you knew that. Now, if you had a total of 50 or more points, please, when you go out the door, let me know today. Okay? Last week, nobody exceeded 50 points except someone who came to the first service and then came back at the third service. We had to rule that one out. I think it's only fair to note from the disciples' viewpoint, Judas had some good qualities. First of all, Judas was the treasurer of the group. Who do churches have for treasure? We have our own treasure. What kind of person? They want to choose people who have been around. People who have some business sense. People who can be trusted. And in John 6, where Jesus shares the message in Capernaum about his being the bread of life, many people grumbled about the message. Many people got up and left. And from that time on, the scripture says, many of his followers turned back and no longer followed Jesus. But the 12, including Judas, stayed. And Jesus even asked them, you do not want to leave too, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, saying, quote, Lord, to whom do we go? Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Unquote. That should be pretty familiar to everyone here because it's part of our divine liturgy that we've used many times. And then Peter went on to say, we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And Judas took part in the ministry of the word and healing. It's easy for us to forget about that. John 11 tells us of the time that Jesus went back to Judea because of Lazarus being so ill. And the disciples questioned his going because the last time they had tried to stone him there. But Jesus was determined to go. You recall he did a fantastic miracle there. And the disciples went with him, despite a warning from the Apostle Thomas, who said, let us also go, that we may die with him. I mean, he was willing to put his life on the line. And Matthew 10 reveals that Judas was also part of the 12 disciples whom Jesus called to himself and gave authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal diseases and sickness. So what happened? How can one who was that kind of disciple and follower of Jesus fall to the depths of betrayal? You have to be on your guard. There are pitfalls all around whether you are a Christian or not. Never underestimate the presence and lure of evil in this world. And what happened to Judas Iscariot should serve as a warning to all of us. One needs to confess sin and deal with it. Otherwise, it may spring up to destroy you. That's what it did with Judas. You may recall in John's Gospel, chapter 12, that Judas complained about an expensive perfume being used by Mary on Jesus' feet. Judas wanted to know why that perfume, worth about a year's wages, was not sold so the money could be given to the poor. But John said that Judas did not say this because he really cared about the poor. John said that Judas was the thief and that as keeper of the money bag, he sometimes helped himself to what was put in it. The love of money seems to have been the main motivation when he agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas may have fooled a lot of people, but he did not fool John, and he certainly did not fool Jesus. The Son of God, on a couple of occasions, said that there was something very wrong with one of his disciples. Judas could have come clean then. But he didn't, and things eventually came to a head. The betrayal of Jesus by Judas is recorded in all four of the Gospels. But different writers sometimes stress different details. And this is really good because it adds authenticity that this really happened. And John gives us his version starting in John 13, which I'm going to read part of to you now because it's very necessary for our message. Jesus said, I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. And after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. And his disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. And one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and we believe that was John, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter mentioned to this disciple, motioned to the disciple, and he said, ask him which one he means. And leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus said, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. And then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. And as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the table understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy food that was needed for the feast, or perhaps to go out and give a gift to the poor. And as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. And it was night. Unquote. And you know that soon after that, that Judas led a group of people with weapons to a place where the disciples and Jesus often met, where he betrayed Jesus and our Lord was taken away. There is strong evidence that money was the main thing that led Judas astray. Jesus had even warned in one of his messages that one could not serve both God and money. Money was too important in Judas' life, and pursuing it in an improper fashion ruin him. Greed destroyed Judas. And it has the power to destroy us also. It is amazing what some people will do for money. There is a book that was written called Are You Normal About Money? And the author took a number of surveys, a good number of people, before writing the book. And he was surprised at some of the things people will do for money. One of the things in his survey showed that 21% would swallow a worm for just $300. A total of 59% were willing to shave their heads for $10,000. It also showed that 60% would commit adultery for $1 million. Now, this is interesting, but money exerts an evil influence in a lot of other ways. Some people wreck their health in their attempts to acquire great wealth. Some neglect their families. Some cheat on their taxes. Or they don't give their employer a decent return in work for the wages that they receive. We could give a lot more examples, but I don't think that's necessary. We've made the point. You can discover a lot of crimes, though, if you follow the money trail. It's one of the main motivations in murder. To sum it up, if you are willing to compromise moral and spiritual principles for wealth, then money is too important in your life. It has become a god for you. And the interesting thing is, this sin can easily lead to other sins. And in Judas's case, it certainly did. Because he went and hung himself. Now, some people outside the church, and maybe some have thought about this and struggled with it in the church, some people say, well, God certainly set up Judas for destruction. I don't believe that. I believe Judas has to accept the full responsibility for what he did. And our main lesson for today is that there was another way. There was another path available to him. Mankind is capable of doing terrible things, but no matter how bad they are, God's grace is greater. We referred to that last week in the life of Peter. Remember? Jesus forgave Peter despite the fact that Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus forgave Paul, who arranged for Christians to be arrested and executed. And I have to believe that Jesus could have forgiven Judas also, if Judas had repented and confessed his sin and asked Jesus to forgive him. Our Lord was forgiving, bestowing forgiveness even at his crucifixion when he forgave the thief on the cross. Yes, Judas felt remorse. And he tried to change things by returning the money. But the chief priest would not accept it back. He tried to change the wrong that he had done, but that was his way. He needed to do it the Lord's way. And we should never forget what that way is. Some of the greatest passages in the Bible in 1 John 1:5. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today, we sadly remember the life of Judas. But hopefully we will always remember the lesson we can learn from his life. Amen.